You're listening to Compassion Radio. Thanks for tuning in to the only daily radio broadcast that camps out with kingdom servants and waits till the whole story is out in the open. We're glad you've tuned our way today. We're a final segment in our special series, When Freedom in Christ Leads Straight to Prison. If you know much about Compassion Radio by now, you're undoubtedly aware that we're not afraid to grab the third rail, as they say. And the subject of capital punishment certainly qualifies as dangerous territory if you're trying to make friends on Christian radio. While I do have some opinions, and strong ones at times, on a wide range of hot-button issues, I'm much more interested in hearing from those actually engaged in serving those in situations I might find scary, confusing, or, frankly, distasteful. Why? Because I'm convinced that I'm never really going to understand Jesus if I'm not willing to learn from him and his most well-practiced disciples. Hanging out with those who walk, not just merely those who talk. And as a journalist, yes, I see the irony in saying it that way. Last week, we spent some pretty intense time with our friend Dan Mann of Nashville, Tennessee. As a music industry executive for decades, he had plenty to keep him busy for the rest of his life. But a funny thing happened on the way to Music Row fame and fortune. Jesus kept showing up saying, "Follow me." So Dan and his wife Bethany took a new look, together, at the Christian's operating manual, specifically the red letters. In the closing verses of Matthew, they just couldn't shake the command of Jesus to visit those in prison. So they dared God to show them how, where, and with whom. And boy, did God answer the challenge. For 15 years now, the Manns have had more than a ringside seat to the moral struggle that is American justice. They're actually in the ring taking hits, fighting for the innocent, and advocating for the victims we don't even think about. And reaching out to the guilty the way Christ said to. The red letters are now written on and in their hearts, and with that comes no small amount of personal pain and frustration. They're discovering the very heart of God in the lives of death row inmates and beating within their own chests. Today, I finish this first major interview with Dan, and we'll start with a recap of what it's like to lose friends he never knew would become so dear to him. Buckle up, friends. We're going in deep today.
We have to face and have had to face the fact that some of the men that we have gotten to know have been executed.
And that is the last place I want to go in our conversation, if you don't mind unpacking further on that, because the body of Christ needs to get inside this tent as well. And this is where I truly believe the red letters are being writ large on the wall by the finger of God directly. And you know because you've been close to this. So as tenderly as you can, help us get in there and be able to respond to the truth.
And we've talked about a few of them. There are moments in our lives that are seminal, that you have experienced presence of God himself. One of those times was for me on death row. We had as a community, and I will define the community as those who visit and the prisoners. Those have become a community, oddball community. Some of them are religious, some of them non-religious. All of them have a compassion for these men. Some of them were attorneys that are now retired. Some of them are little old church ladies.
And we're not talking about the ones who are under sentence.
No, we're talking about those who visit those who are under sentence. One of my favorite people in the world, her name is Bibi. She's in her late 80s. I should never guess her age. I shouldn't do that. But Bibi's been told she's not supposed to drive at night. And the only time she drives at night is when she goes to visit Donald on death row, because she won't miss a visit. So it's a community. As the community gathers, we gather to mourn. We gather to celebrate. It's an odd thing, but we'd gone through the death of three of the guys from the former governor. There had been a 10-year hiatus between executions, and then the governor decided, or the attorney general at the time, decided that he was going to ramp up executions again. So executions were ramped up. The governor, at the end of his term, oversaw, I want to say three. Yes, there are three executions, and there's a new governor. Well, this new governor, in his private life, he'd been involved in prison ministry. We were excited. You know, surely here's a guy who has compassion for and understands prison and understands these men.
And as you would say, the resource spiritually of those who are following Christ from behind bars and the prayers that pour out of these guys on behalf of his church, the kingdom of God around the world, you would think you'd want to preserve as much as possible that spiritual power.
Precisely, which is why we were excited by the prospect of this new governor. But there was an execution scheduled shortly after he came in. This particular prisoner was ordained by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and he was considered the Bible answer man. So he had his own radio program within the prison where people could send him he could send him questions, and he would answer questions about the Bible, and he would answer them. His name was Don Johnson. As we meet on Monday nights and executions are on Thursdays, they usually take prisoners then isolated for 3 days off of death row. They say their goodbyes on Monday nights and are taken to Death Watch, which is a cell next to the execution chamber. And so this was a Monday night. Donnie was scheduled to be executed on Thursday. And there was just a group of us in there. A friend of mine, Shane Claiborne, happened to be in town to visit the guys on death row that night. He marched with us. We march prior to an execution. On the Sundays, we will march from the prison about 9 miles outside the governor's office. We will march with petitions. We'll stay up all night and deliver them on Monday morning to the governor, something we've done now 7 times. So Shane was in town for the march, and we were there visitation. And Donnie came out. Donnie had a visitor, but they gave him a special room so that they could isolate him. But he came out through our room, and he saw us all there, and we were all giving him hugs. And he says, "Let's pray." So there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 inmates at the most, and then the rest of us were visitors. So there may have been 10, 12 people there as we held hands. And one of the death row inmates was another ordained pastor, ordained since he's been on death row. His name's Kevin Burns. And KB said, "Well, let me open in prayer." As we stood, there were only 2 of them that prayed. KB is a black Pentecostal out of Memphis. And when he prayed, the room got absolutely still. It was amazing. He prayed for his brother, Donnie. He prayed that God would give him strength and courage. He would ask the governor would change his mind. And he prayed all the things that we were all praying. And Donnie says, "Well, let me close." Because they were telling us it was time
to wrap it up.
We got to get out of here. So none of the visitors prayed. It was just KB, and then it was Donnie. And Donnie prayed for the governor. Didn't pray that he'd change his mind. He just prayed for the governor. And he prayed for the warden. And he prayed for the crew that would have to be in there for the execution and the trauma that it was going to cause them. And then he prayed for us. And then he left the room. To see a brother in Christ have that kind of compassion, have that kind of wherewithal to pray for his enemies in the way that he did. And make no mistake, each of our enemies are different, but his enemies are the people who are trying to kill him at that moment, right? That's just kind of the definition of enemy. And he prayed for them with a holy compassion, and if I might, a holy empathy for the trauma that they were going to have to go through in order to execute him. He acknowledged it and he prayed for him. It was the holiest moment I've ever been a part of. And then he hugged us all and was taken to Death Watch and was executed on Thursday.
When Donnie left the room, what was left in the room?
Stunned silence. The 5 or 6 visitors that were in there, because all of the prisoners were led back out into the pods, into their cells. They had to go into lockdown because they lock them down when there's an execution happening. But we stood in stunned silence, and then we left. And we returned on that Thursday to stand and hold vigil through the execution process. We all stood in the state provides us with a fenced-in area that we can stand on the property but not get too close to the facility. There are guards on the outside with horses and guns and everything else, lest those of us who care about opposing the death penalty would
go storm the castle or
right,
something.
I'm not sure what they expect. They also have another section that's sectioned off where people can go if they are in favor of the death penalty and want to celebrate.
Does that happen every time?
Yeah. So that gets a little surreal. Sometimes there are a few people over there. Sometimes there's only one guy. There's one guy that shows up every time. It is now illegal for him to bring his boombox. He would bring and play AC/DC while we were trying to pray. But there are anywhere from 50 to 100 people that will gather no matter the temperature. And we've been there where it's been 95 degrees and we've been there where it's been 35 degrees. Standing on the knoll, surrounded by chains waiting for that. We pray, we hold hands, we hold vigil. There's a litany and a liturgy, and we go through that. And then once we are notified by somebody on the inside that the execution is complete, then we say a final prayer and make it our way to our cars and go home. It's a surreal.
There are no resolutions here. There are no completions. There's nothing that ever settled.
No.
But you've been through this 7 times now. You do leave with something. What is it?
Honestly, I leave with anger, okay. Frustration, a new resolve to do what I can. And I'll tell you about the last one. So with the new governor that came in just after Donnie's execution, Shane asked the guys on death row, if you could say one thing to the governor, what would it be? And KP piped up and he says, I know. He said, we'd ask him to come pray with us. That's what KB said. My response was, write that letter and I'll get it to the governor. The guys wrote a letter and 33 of the men signed it. So we have a big poster of the letter. Dear governor, we know that you're a man of faith and we would ask you to come pray with us. We're not going to ask you about clemency. We're not going to do any of that. Just come pray with us. Meet us and pray with us where we are. So in our attempts to see the governor, every time we'd march and we've been down there and we've made phone calls and we've met with officials, always held at arm's length, never meeting with the governor. The last time we marched, it was February of 2020, and there was a holiday. So the governor wasn't going to be in, so we didn't bother going to the Capitol. But we always carry the letter with us. Now, the governor's gotten copies because we always leave copies of the letters. But we had the actual letter there and everything else. And just 2 of us showed back up on Tuesday morning. Dr. Reverend Kevin Riggs out of Franklin, good friend of mine, and I, we showed up on Tuesday morning instead of Monday morning. And we went up to the governor's office. We were about to knock on the door and ask to see if the governor would come meet with us, which we knew he wouldn't. The governor walks up behind us. He's been in a meeting, and he's walking up, to which we went,
hi.
Yeah, we went, governor, hi. Kevin started. Kevin's a large man, basketball kind of tall. I'm not. Let's just say that. So Kevin reaches his hand out and says, governor, my name is Kevin Riggs, and I'm a pastor down in Franklin, your community. And he says, I know who you are. I know who you are. I guess we've been on TV enough blasting the governor. And so the conversation about the letter said, we want to make sure that you have it. And we laid it into his hands. So he took the letter and he said to me 3 times, and I don't know why I'm hanging on to the number 3, but I know Peter and Jesus had a 3 thing going on for a little bit. But the governor said to me 3 times, thank you for doing the Lord's work. Thank you for doing the Lord's work. Thank you for doing the Lord's work. This was just before the last execution.
There's more of Dan Mann's amazing story coming up right after this.
Compassion Radio has been committed to bringing you the truth about what God is really doing in the world and how He is bringing about the salvation, redemption, life, and growth of His kingdom wherever it is to be found. So much has changed and is changing in this world. At the same time, I'm discovering in a deeper way how absolutely consistent God is in times of trial. So I'll ask you, will you help? Just call today with your first gift and consider making it monthly. Call us, 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. And our website is CompassionRadio.com. If you're on the move right now, you can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to make your gift immediately. God bless you. And now, back to our discussion.
The governor said to me 3 times, thank you for doing the Lord's work. Thank you for doing the Lord's work. Thank you for doing the Lord's work. This was just before the last execution. Kevin Riggs said, governor, can we pray for you? And to my surprise, the governor said, absolutely. So Kevin laid his hands on him. Kevin's a big man. Did I mention that? Kevin laid his hands on him and starts praying.
Yeah.
And he asked God to change his mind, change his heart and change his mind. I mean, right there in front of the governor's office, we're standing there and Kevin is beseeching God to change the governor's mind. I'm, on the other hand, seething because he's thanked me for doing the Lord's work, and I'm wondering, if I'm doing the Lord's work, what possibly does he think that he's doing?
You're going literary now.
I know. Again, that's my humanity on display. Therein was the pain of all of that lived out in trying to get people to see these men in the image of God.
Exactly. In moments like that, you're all feeling stuck. You're pleading with God.
Right.
And you know God's present.
Right.
But there's a checkmate on the board here.
Right.
And nobody can move.
Yeah.
And yet, you're in the room with Donnie before he goes to his death, and something breaks through because the impossible just happened.
Yeah, it's unreal.
So, I imagine you're praying for the next time that God breaks through the impossibilities and makes what is impossible possible.
Exactly. And to that end, I am committed to writing my little op-eds, which I'm grateful to the Tennessean to print. I write the governor. I write his staff. I do the things that I know to do. I will march again. There's a spate of 12 men who are now scheduled to die. We don't have dates on them yet, but there are 12 who have exhausted all of their appeals.
There are many who say that they fear a season of death ahead in many ways for our country. You care for a particular room of them.
Yeah.
I would simply ask you, Dan, what do we as the body of Christ need to know about that moment where someone like you stands in that place? How do we pray for you? And what is the question God is asking of them?
I think we are in a time of propaganda. We are in a time where the definition of words are being altered. Some slightly, some dramatically. What we mean by being pro-life needs to be examined. I am pro-life, womb to tomb, because I believe Jesus was as well. One of the things about the church, they don't think about people once they're in prison. They don't think about it. The number of times I have talked to people, I go to death row, and they go, death row where? Death row here in Nashville, it's across the street. There's a death row in Tennessee? Yes. Do we execute people? Yes. There is such an unawareness of any of that. I think what it is that I would ask, be aware. Here's a statistic that will, I hope, shock people. If you sentence somebody, I don't care what the sentence is, it doesn't have to be death, but if you sentence somebody and somebody goes away prison, it impacts not only them, but it also impacts their families.
Mm-hmm.
We are in a very seriously dangerous place right now in our country of mass incarceration. We have more people incarcerated than any other modern country. We have more people incarcerated than China.
Mm-hmm.
So mass incarceration is what we do. We put people away. But the problem is that we put people away, they have children. In the state of Tennessee, there are only two states with higher statistics. But in the state of Tennessee, 1 in 10 minors, human beings under the age of 18, right?
Who are probably in school right now.
Right. They're sitting next to your kid.
Right.
Right? 1 in 10 have a parent that's incarcerated. 1 in 10. It's unconscionable that we are not able to focus and care for those who are clearly the least, but nothing is being done. Being able to take these poor children, we spend about $30 just to feed Larry. We don't take anything from a vending machine, but a meal is going to cost about $30. Now imagine if a child wants to go and have dinner with their parent, it's $30 a person. For a community that is impoverished, where are you going to come up with? You just don't go see them.
And you say impoverished in a literal sense.
In a literal sense.
The vast majority of those who have incarcerated parents are already destitute.
Completely.
And probably most of them also on welfare in order to keep going.
Correct.
So you have a very large population. If there are hundreds of thousands of them, then maybe tens of thousands in Tennessee alone.
Correct.
Times 4 or 5 of those are people that are directly dependent upon them that are now unable to.
Correct.
So yes, that question about where does the wall of prison actually encompass? And the second one is going to be when innocence is punished and executed, which is a reality.
Absolutely.
I would not love to come back to this. It is necessary for us to come back to these issues because they are not just things that God cares about. They are the heart of God, and they are the last words he gave us on this planet to do.
Correct.
So if he's willing to leave the flesh around him to return to his Father, to be completely transfigured till another time, the last thing he could possibly say to the people and the creation that he loves, that he is actually part of, would be this thing, which has to do with those who are oppressed. who are imprisoned, who are destitute, who are poor.
It is the foundation of our faith. And I'll address this one last thing as briefly as I can. One of the things that I have discovered, I am against the death penalty across the board, not just because there are innocents that have been caught up in it and have been killed. Not just because of that. I believe that when Jesus said to love your enemies, do good to those who persecute you, he's acknowledging that those who are guilty, and in fact he says it, I did not come for the innocent, I came for the guilty.
Not the found, but the lost, the ones that are outside and do not measure up to this moral code. They've already failed.
He didn't come for the righteous. He came for sinners,
yeah,
to call to repentance. Sinners. So these are chief of sinners. So how on earth do you execute the people that God came to earth specifically for? And then you throw in the fact that 1 in 10 are going to be innocent. And we know that from statistics. It's now 1 in 10. 1 in 10 are on death row.
It's not an opinion anymore.
It's not an opinion.
It's not a slam piece from some slanted media. This is the kind of research that actually gets to the bottom of what happened.
So 10% of the guys on death row are going to be innocent, no matter how you slide that scale.
We would love to keep the mic open for eternity here, because there's so much that could well up that would be surprising to both you and I as we keep talking. I want that relationship, that friendship to continue for our sake, but also for the kingdom of God here. If we could spend a little bit of time on the air doing this, I do think it's going to be able to touch some other people out there that have just been hungry for finding out what's really behind the curtain. What are the issues that God cares most about that I could be part of? So if you'd be gracious enough to join me again before the mic, I'd love to have you back to talk more on this.
Of course.
Dan Mann here of Nashville, Tennessee. What title or business should I mention?
I have an agency where I manage and represent artists in the performing arts.
And that's the Et Cetera, or what?
Agency ETC, yes.
And now this chapter in your life, the president, the guy who's behind Agency ETC, which is your booking and management agency. You can find that on the web, I'm sure.
Yeah.
If you want to see who Dan Mann, that particular Dan Mann is, you look that up under Agency ETC. I am grateful you spent the time with me. It's been exhausting in some ways, but it's also been invigorating to know that a long-time friendship is actually paying dividends in my life now, because you've been willing to welcome me back into that. I'm really praying it's going to pay dividends in those who are hearing these programs. So thank you again for joining us.
Of course. Thank you. Thank you so much for giving me voice.
My enduring thanks to Dan Mann of Nashville, Tennessee, for sharing his story with us for the past 4 programs. Dan is truly an exceptional servant of the kingdom, along with his wife, Bethany. And I'm honored to call them dear friends. And if you missed anything today, just find the podcast streaming at our website, CompassionRadio.com.
Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. And our website is CompassionRadio.com. We'll see you tomorrow.